We are going to be looking at 1 Timothy 4:12. My first pastorate was an assistant pastorate up in Ohio, and I was pretty green behind the ears. I learned some valuable lessons. And some of those lessons I learned the hard way. I could have learned them an easier way, but I learned them the hard way. If you'll let me, I want to share one of those lessons with you. I studied hard in ministry. I study hard now. Study harder now than I did in ministry, actually. But I developed my own lessons. You work real hard to develop your own curriculum. You disciple both young people and older people in ministry. You work hard at that. You maintain study, a regimen. And over time, those folks that you're ministering to, they do begin to admire you, and they will begin to respect your work ethic. And all that is great until you do something like toilet paper the deacon's house or something like that, which is actually what happened. Everything was going fine, and you would think that it wouldn't be a problem that you took a bunch of vigilante teens and actually TP'd two deacons' houses one night. However, the fallout of that blew me away. I didn't realize, so when I grew up in Maryland and we did this as a youth group, it was all tongue-in-cheek and we had a good time and we were, really the youth leaders weren't involved. We would go out and do that ourselves, but here I was with them, you see. And let me tell you that one of those deacons to this day will not forgive me for that. You would think that that's a that would be something that would be easily forgiven. But some things that we do in our youth can be despised. We can forgive a young person, but you get in ministry and you do things that young people do, and you will be thought of as a young person, and you may be despised. And this was the case in my first ministry. In fact, it was so much so, it actually was a big part of my leaving that first ministry. Not that they were forcing me out, but just the awkwardness. He was a deacon, the dynamics that are involved in there. I still go back to that church. That deacon is no longer at that church. That church is really one of our home churches that supports us here. But that affected our ministry. Now, the Bible says here in 1 Timothy 4:12, "Let no man despise thy youth." And what does it mean there? Does it mean that you're to get out your .357 revolver and say, "Go ahead, despise my youth"? Is this what we want to come across? Just go ahead and try to despise my youth. No, this is not what Paul is saying. We're not to taunt people in the church and ask them and really tempt them to despise us for what we're doing in ministry. We're really to veer away from that. In fact, we are not to let what we do in ministry be despised. That means we need to do ministry and be part of ministry in excellence. There is maturity that is required in ministry. Otherwise, you will be despised in ministry and you will give the ministry a bad name. That's a hard lesson to learn, and it's good if you learn that now. Let no man despise thy youth. You see, he tells Timothy in Timothy 2:15, "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Paul tells Titus. He's telling him he needs to beef it up. He needs to make sure that what he is doing, what he is speaking, what he is exhorting, he is doing with authority. And in my first point, I'd like to say that as we are to be servants of the Word, who love thy Word, we need to be servants with resolve in how we are in ministry. And I believe that we need to make this first resolution based on this passage of Scripture. I will be wise so as not to be despised. I will be wise so as not to be despised. Don't act foolish. Don't give others a reason to despise you for your youth. If you're like me, I looked young. I looked like I was wet behind the ears. I didn't need my actions to prove that. So I needed to be wise. I needed to be thoughtful. I needed to apply what Paul says here. And what would be some of the things that we would be despised for? For what would someone despise your youth? Why would somebody despise your youth? Well, I think he gives us six different categories that we need to watch. And we need to resolve not to be foolish in these areas, but to be wise. And I believe that first one, let me read the whole verse here, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. People despise foolish, patois. How do you like that? I put a French word as our first one. Now, I mentioned patois because I needed all P's, all right? And what does patois mean? And we have some French people in this, people who know French in here. But this is, it is a matter of speech that is unstandardized. Many times we would consider Jamaicans to have speech that is patois. That is, it is different than English, regular English. It is of almost a different standard. It's not standardized, but it is somewhat of a dialect. And here, people will despise a dialect that is foolish. If we communicate in a foolish mannerism, if we communicate in words that are characteristically foolish, we will be despised. Now, there is a limit that this happens, I know. However, if I go into a gray-haired church with California beach language, I will be despised. It is not wise to go in and communicate in this patois. You see, our speech, our words, our jargon, the language we use can be foolish. But not only that, we can be despised for foolish performance. Not just the words that we say, but our behavior, our actions, our conduct. I gave one example of foolish performance. I wish that was my only foolish performance. For some reason, when I got into youth ministry, I did have this thing that I was young. I did enjoy having fun, and I enjoyed pulling pranks. It seemed like the things that we did in the dorm just kind of overflowed into ministry. And those things were unwise. Now, some of them were good tongue-in-cheek, and many people, some of the other deacons that maybe weren't so stuffy, got those pranks. And I would think that I was maybe a a sanctifying agent in their life and not something that was bringing them down. But our performances, if we are characteristically foolish in our performance, we're bringing down the ministry. We are causing God's name and God's ministry to be despised. So people despise foolish performance. If they want a jester, they'll call a jester into the ministry. But they usually don't hire a pastor or someone to come in and minister, or for you to be ministering in the church, whether you're male or female, and your performance is causing you to be despised. People despise foolish pride. That is selfishness and self-centeredness. That's one of the characteristics probably that you learn in development class, in Dr. Bethel's class, is one of the characteristic things of adolescents is that they are selfish. They're concerned about their own well-being. And that's really pride. We're wrapped up in ourselves. Our universe revolves around us and what we think things should be like and the way we would like things to be and to be done. You see, Timothy also was spoken to by Paul in 3:6, and he indicates that an overseer should not be a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he should fall into the condemnation of the devil, which is pride. It's one of the reasons why we don't put new believers in ministry without being tested, because of pride. But not only this, but people despise foolish purposes. People despise foolish purpose. You see, we can misspend our energy. We can have misguided focus. The old will often tell of the young what energy is wasted on the young. Why would they say that? Because it's misguided. It's squandered. It's used on purposeless things. We sometimes will spend hours and hours, and I would spend hours and hours in ministry doing something that had no real purpose in it, that had no great benefit in it. And we need to be careful that even here, that we make those habits that are purposeful, that we make good use of our time. And we will get into that in the second part of this. But here, people do despise when you are wasting and squandering your time through misled purpose. People despise foolish partiality. People despise foolish partiality. Observing, in verse 21 of chapter 5 in this book of 1 Timothy, I charge you there before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one another, therefore. Without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. This is part of walking by faith. We're going to get into that in the positive part of this message, but as we look at faith and walking by faith, it's walking by what God directs us to do, not by what we see, not by trying to please a deacon, a pastor, an influential family in the church, someone who provides for you in some way. It could even be an in-law, someone influential, that we could be partially, we could be acting partially in ministry. And I think that is despised in ministry. That's why we need to walk by faith, which means in obedience. And we'll get to that in a moment. But the sixth thing is people despise foolish passion. People despise foolish passion. And really, that's the lust. We crave and we live by the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, 1 John 4:16 says. But we're to flee youthful lust. In 2 Timothy 2:22, Paul writes to Timothy, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You see, fleeing youthful lust. We're to be pure. And so, why I will be wise as to not be despised, maybe my first resolution, I believe also I need to be an example as to not be ineffectual. I need to be an example as to not be ineffectual. Be an example to the believers. You see, also in 1 Timothy 1:12, Paul says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Paul also says in Ephesians 4:1, "Therefore, as a prisoner of the Lord, I beseech thee that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." So he counted me faithful, but he also expects me to walk worthy. In 1 Timothy 5:17, he says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor." There is a matter of being an example, a worthy example within ministry, not a foolish, despised example. And Paul said in Philippians 3:17, he says, be followers together of me. Brethren, be followers of me. We are to be an example to people. And so we need to be an example here, he says, to the brethren in word. Be an example in word. Really, one of the things I noticed today that we need to be careful of in preparation for ministry, and I was reminded of that and taught that here at Appalachian Bible College, is to be excellent in my communication. When I write, I need to write without error, okay? I know most of the faculty know that none of you are perfect, okay? We all grade your papers. We know that you're not perfect. And guess what? I'm not perfect either. I have a wife that tells me that I'm not perfect. No, she actually is an encouragement to me, but she's also a sanctifying agent for me. She is my accountability partner. But we are to be, in word, wise. What about our terminology? Are we using terminology that is biblical when we communicate? When we are to be wise in what we say, that is to be an example, how is our terminology? Are we caught up in worldly philosophies, or are we biblical in what we share and the life that we lead as an example? I love what the Bible says in Psalm 19:14. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." And also in this book, Paul writes to Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 6, just before our passage, to be nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, and give attendance to the reading and exhortation and to doctrine. So these things are supposed to be part of our words, so that we would live as an example. And here, we need to resolve here. We need to make a resolution. If we're to be an example in word, what do I need to resolve to be? A resolution is that I am going to come to a definite and earnest decision about something. And if we do not take an earnest and make an earnest decision about something, most likely we will not do it. I don't know if they told you this in your used to be orientation for us, but I remember Mr. Chesley telling us, if we haven't changed by now, we probably are not going to change our habits, our study habits. Didn't you say that back in orientation? I think I remember that. And If you're going to change, you need to resolve to change. And so here I'm going to say you need to make a resolution that you're going to be an example in word. I resolve to communicate in a manner worthy of my Lord's calling. Whatever God's calling you, He certainly has called us to salvation. But in whatever God's calling you to do, you need to make a resolution that you are going to communicate in a manner worthy of the Lord's calling in your life. But we're also to be an example in conversation or in conduct, not just in word, but in our behavior, what we do, to be an example, to exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Chapter 4 and verse 7 says, take heed unto thyself, verse 16 says in chapter 4. Godliness with contentment is great gain, in chapter 6, Paul tells Timothy. And he gives him examples in his action in ministry, some examples of how you're to lead. And he says one of the ways is in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and an elder woman as a mother. That's where I failed, okay? I didn't rebuke an elder, but I certainly didn't treat him as a father. I don't know that I would have TP'd my dad's house. I don't think he would have let me get away with that. So we need to raise the bar in our behavior. It's okay to do fun things in ministry, but we need to resolve to behave in a manner worthy of our Lord's calling. Resolve to behave in a manner worthy. I believe also he says we need to be an example in charity, that is, in love. And he gives us examples in this book in chapter 5, verse 3. He says, honor widows that are widows indeed. And that's just an example of caring, of our charity, of our love that we are to be sharing in ministry. This is something that's not despised. In fact, people, really, you've heard it say, don't care what you have to say unless they know that you care. And so we need to love, we need to care, we need to have charity, and we need to resolve to care for others in a manner worthy of our calling. We need to resolve to love, to care for others. This needs to be a high point in our ministry. This is the opposite of the pride and the selfishness that I mentioned before. Instead of our world revolving around the youth ministry or revolving around whatever ministry you have within the local church, you're to be caring for the flock. You're to be loving others, caring for them. Resolve to do that. But also be an example in spirit. Now, usually spirit, if we have on the soccer team or the basketball team or the volleyball team or whatever teams are out there, we see spirit through what? Enthusiasm. A lot of team spirit will have a lot of enthusiasm. Little team spirit, little enthusiasm. And I'm not saying that ministry is how much you can hype up or how much you can get to everybody jumping and frenzied. That's not the ministry. But the Bible does say, whatever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Colossians 3:23. And then, of course, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Whatever you're doing, do to the glory of God. Do it with spirit. Do it with what you have. What is going to energize you to be in ministry? And it should be the Lord. And it should be our resolve here to live heartily, purposefully, enthusiastically for the glory of the Lord. Now, we also need to be an example in faith. Faithfulness, loyalty, consistency is an attribute that is not despised, but is admired in ministry. That we're faithful, that we do what we say, that we follow through, that we have integrity and that we're true. And that is because someone who is faithful lives in obedience to God, and then they leave the results to God. Remember in the missions conference, faith is doing, I can't remember the exact thing, but leaving the details to God, but obeying Him. And so I need to resolve to live in obedience to my Lord and trust His providence. This may come up when a teen or parents may come and there may be conflict. Who are you going to follow? The Lord and living before Him in obedience? Or are you going to cave in under the pressure? So we're also to be an example in purity. Lastly, you see, we're not to be hasty. We're not to partake of other man's sins, Paul says in 5:22 in that same book. And we need to resolve to live with a pure and true heart towards God. This means setting up protections. Because if we're to flee youthful lust, if we're just depending on ourselves, we're likely to fall. And so we need to set up areas that will safeguard against purity. That means if you're at church, if you're at the church, you should not have private internet viewing. You should be accountable in all ways. You should always try to have your screen facing windows so that you're above reproach. Because believe it or not, today it is thought of more that you are not pure. Young people are not pure than they are pure. That's one of the reasons young people can be looked upon as despised, because they go according to their flesh. They do what feels good. They do what feels natural. And so we need to make sure that we safeguard against that, that we are living above reproach and that there's no question involved there. So what must we decide? And just reviewing here, that we need to decide to resolve to do these things, to communicate in a manner worthy of the Lord's calling, to behave in a manner worthy of the Lord's calling, to care for others in a manner worthy of the Lord's calling. But not only that, we need to live heartily, purposefully, and enthusiastically for the Lord, for His glory, and to live in obedience, and also to live with a pure and true heart. Let's bow our heads. Father God, this is a challenge for us today in ministry, that we don't cause a despising of your ministry. Lord God, I pray that you will make us faithful, that we will be faithful because we follow your word and we obey it. Lord, make us resolve to do these things, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.